All right. Thank you, Brother Gall. My, my, my. Let's not forget that. It's real easy in the Christmas season to emphasize the baby alone, but the purpose he came, to go all the way to the cross, to pay for our sins, and thank God, rise again and ascend to heaven. And he's going to finish the story one of these days when he comes back. Amen. Go to Psalms with me this morning. We'll have some preaching later, to services as we near Christmas a little more. This morning I want to go to the Psalms, Psalms 26. And for the tape room, if I was going to say something about what I guess my theme is, it'd be this: self-examination. You know, God's good to us. He lets us examine ourselves. I see David here in the 26th Psalm, and that's exactly what he's doing. He's introspecting. He's taken, as it were, inventory of his own life before God. You ever hear somebody say, well, I had to gather my wits about me. I had to sit down and think about it. That's good for all of us. We ought to do that once in a while. Probably ought to do it a little more than most of us do. But in Psalms 26, David says to the Lord, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Here's the word. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins. That's the depth of me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, and so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving, and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. I don't know if they had COVID back then, but it didn't stop them. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. Now in context, this is David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, one that God said was right after his own heart, a man after his own heart. And as David is kind of looking deep within himself and, as it were, examining himself, and the Bible gives us authority and commands us to do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it tells us, when we're about to take the Lord's Supper, to examine ourselves. Examine ourselves. In other words, look within. And you know what? We all have a little bit of a hard time with being honest with ourselves. We all go in somewhat for denial, you know. I'm going to ask you this. When I was a kid, we didn't have TV, of course, so I learned to play checkers pretty good. My brother went on to be pretty much an expert at it. But I played with Grandma. Now, Grandma was good practice. Mother was good practice. My brother could edge me out most of the time. But sometimes I had nobody to play with. You know what I tried several times? Anybody ever try this? I tried to play against myself. You know what? I cheated on both sides. I couldn't make myself do it. I said, I'm going to be honest. No, I know what I'm fixing to do on the other side. That just didn't work. And sometimes in life, as we look at ourselves, we're pretty good about finding the moat, you know, in the brother's eye and letting the beam in our own eye kind of go unnoticed. We're good at that. That's human nature. That's for sure. But God wants us to be honest about it. We ought to want to know about ourselves. I think about this will date me a little bit, but it was back when they used to have phone booths at service stations. Kids, no cell phone. Can you believe it? No cell phone. And a fellow was standing near one of those phone booths, and another man went into it, and he could hear what he was saying. And he called somebody on the phone, and he said, "So you don't need a chauffeur? The job's not open." You say the guy that's your chauffeur now is doing a good job. And he went out of the phone booth, and the man listening to him said, "Ha, you didn't get the job, did you?" He said, "No, I already got it. I was just checking up on myself, see if I was doing a good job." You know, we'd all do well to check up on ourselves once in a while, to sort of take an inventory, as it was. You know, businesses do that. Any business of most any size, and many of you worked in this, and you know, sometimes they even have to close down to do inventory. I think about Jerry Clower, the Southern Gospel music jokester. You've heard him on the radio. I don't know if Jerry's still alive. Probably not. But he used to tell some funnies. And one of them, not so funny, but a real principle truth in it. He said the grandson went off to college and got smart. And he come back working for Grandpa in the business. And Grandpa had a clothing material type business and curtains and stuff. And he said the grandson kept saying to the granddad, "You got to do inventory. You don't know whether you're making a profit or not. We got to do inventory." And finally the grandpa told him, said, "Look, go in the back room, get the ladder, climb up to the far shelf, and kick the dust off that material up there, and you'll come up with one roll of material that's not totally been used up. And everything else in the store is profit above that, because that's what we started with." Now you get the point? Sometimes we moan and whine about stuff, and we don't really do the right kind of inventory. How many of the blessings of God have we taken for granted? Well, I don't have everything I want, but has God supplied your need? We need to do inventory once in a while. These days, inventory is really needed. I mean, we need to examine the world today. And brother, if you got your hope in the world, you ought to take inventory of it. I mean, you look around, it's not getting better. It's fulfilled in the Bible when it says evil men will wax worse and worse. And more so we see it in our days in America. If you have got any discernment or any Bible knowledge, and even having to sort through the fake news today, you see things are in a mess. And I want to say to you, as America goes, the world is pretty well going the same way. And they look to us for leadership much of the time. But evil is increasing in America exponentially. You know what that means? I mean, it's just more than you can keep up with. And I want to say, if there's a God in heaven, and I know there is, he is not forever going to put up with what's going on. I don't believe he is. I've said before that if God did not judge America, he'd have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for judging them. Amen? And that's the mess that we in. Evil is increasing today. It is flooding in. Now, David here is referring to the bad crowd, the wrong congregation, the evil men, the ones he don't want to sit with and walk with and fellowship with. And so evil has always been around. But as the Bible says, it is increasing, and the governors seem to be off of it, as it were. And we're looking today at perversion that we're supposed to accept. That's always been condemned, even by the lost world out there that didn't know the Lord Jesus. They condemned such stuff as using children for pornography and abusing them. But do you understand Hollywood is fixing to give an Academy Award to the movie makers that just did the porn show? I think they called it the Little Cuties. And they took the young children and put them through pornographic moves and displays. And now Hollywood's going to give them an Oscar. No wonder the governor of Cobourg, New York, got an Oscar for killing all the old folks in the nursing homes. They gave him an Oscar, too. That's how perverted things are. It used to be that a lost man would do his sin and often regret it, But now, no, not only do they do the sin, they hate you if you don't condone it and go along with it and accept it. That's the difference now. And we look everywhere. Of course, the political corruption is so obvious, I don't need to say anything. America, sadly, the Marxists are taking over, folks. I mean, really, really taking over. Let me just say this. We all know that the man that got elected, apparently, according to Maury, it'll be certified, I guess. We know he was a Trojan horse. He was a symbol, that was all. I'm not sure if he, not only not in control, but he's manipulated. And all of that, we understand that. So I'm not going to say too much about it, except the Marxists have taken over. Now, they were clever, and with the news media and the COVID and everything else, they got Mr. Biden elected. Now, I want to tell you what the next step is. They're getting him seated. Their next move now is to unseat him. Now, they wouldn't talk about the scandals of China before the election, but they're sure going to talk about it now, because you see, he served his purpose. He put him in power. Now they're going to remove him. And by the way, he's not much threat to them anyway. But they're going to remove him. You watch for it. Say, what's going to happen? Well, can you say, Madam President? Can you say Camilla or Mila or whatever her name is? You see, this whole thing, folks, it's the biggest con you ever seen, just about. So what am I saying? It's right to examine the world. It's right to examine where we are. No, I hate to admit this to you folks, but I have finally come to a conclusion in my life that I can't fix everything. Any of you men ever come to that? Talk to my wife. She thinks I can fix anything in the house, any kind of way. Would you talk to her, please? Have you ever come to the place to realize there's just some things bigger than you are? Just some things all you can do is turn over to God. Some things all you can do is pray about it and say, Lord, I'm for you fixing it, but I can't do it myself. And we're moving to that stage right now. Even the president trying to get the courts to help him out, he's found that he can't do it. It's amazing the collaboration among themselves to put this one world Antichrist system together. It's big. It's happening. And there's no doubt about it. It's okay to do inventory. You say, well, you're discouraging me. Well, no, I'm not. I'm telling you, the more this thing comes together like God said it was coming together, the sooner Jesus is coming. Amen. And that ain't bad news. Excuse me, but it ain't bad news. That's good news. Amen. I'm just simply saying to you, it's okay, a time to examine. God allows us a self-examination. David was looking deep into his own life before God. And it's all right for us to look at our lives. It's all right for us to look at what we're dealing with and the reality of where we're at and what is going on, no doubt about it. But you know, as Bible believers, we shouldn't be shocked. Not really. We're seeing our freedom of speech go. Camilla, or whatever her name is, Harris, said the other day, in 100 days after being in office, she would give Congress 100 days to pass a bill against your guns, your Second Amendment rights. 100 days. Now, they're not going to come to your door first. They're going to come to somebody else's. And you know what's sad about it? I hate to say it, but we're going to wait. Well, they didn't come to my house yet. We better do something before they start picking us off one at a time. That's what I'm saying to you. Better wake up. Things are going to change. All I want God to do is just give us freedom until he gets here. And I think we ought to pray that way. I really do. But Bible believers, we shouldn't be shocked. This was predicted. It is going to happen. There's going to be censorship of free speech and our rights that we've taken for granted over and over and over. We're going to see them not just eroding, but just being quickly removed is what's going to happen. But let me also say this. We ought to examine what's going on prophetically. I do that. I preach a lot about prophecy. Just can't hardly help it. Said some things to you in Sunday school this morning. And I see the big events that's taking place that tells me Jesus is coming. That's prophesied. Big events, small events, big signs, little signs. I mean, it was a big sign in 1948 when Israel came back as a nation. It's a big sign as we see all the nations are lining up against Israel. And by the way, Israel lost a lot in the election. Lost the best friend they have had. And we're going to see how that's going to shake out also. That's a terrible thing. But examining prophecy, we can see the big signs with Iran and all the rest of the crowd out there. No doubt about it. But one of the big signs today is how anti-Godism is increasing. Anti-church, anti-Bible, anti-God, anti-righteousness. You read the book of Revelation and other places, it says when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom, he's going to rule, and listen to this, and make war in righteousness. In other words, he's got to, by force, fix some things. Truth is, this world has turned its back on righteousness, turned its back on God's attributes and what God says is right. And when the Lord Jesus comes back, he has to rule, the Bible says, with a rod of iron, with a double-edged sword that goes out of his mouth. Now, the Bible tells us what a double-edged sword is. The Bible is compared to a double-edged sword in Hebrews 4. And the truth is, the Creator is going to have to take his creation back over by force. Isn't that amazing? That's how deteriorated it's going to become. Oh, listen. That's prophecy of what's going to happen. And we see the signs of it everywhere that we look. We see the anti-Godism. You're hearing in the news now about a lot of spying. The Chinese spying and putting their agents inside the politician's office and the bedroom with them and everywhere else. We're hearing that in the news, if you've paid any attention to it here recently. Covered up by the fake media by a long, long time. All of that. But this spying business is going to get really bad. It's increasing now. I think Brother Burke Perkins told me about somebody that went and tested positive for COVID. They asked him one question. Do you go to church? Do you understand the implications of that? Do you understand they're going to get this thing about tracing everybody you had any contact with? I know somebody else that went and they started filling out some papers and they wanted them to list everybody they had cut. And they said, I'm not going to do that. Because they understand what's going on. Well, that's tribulation period and an Antichrist program that's moving in. Tracing. The Bible says the time will come that the man's enemies will be those of his own household. It talks about the daughter-in-law being against the mother-in-law and all. It talks about kids spying on the parents. Well, that's been going on in communist, socialist, Marxist countries for a long time. And school kids having to report home life. Folks, it's moving into America right now. This virtual school, since they had the shutdown business going on, you know what the teachers started fussing about in some areas? Parents were spying on the teachers by watching what the kids had to watch to do their schoolwork. I don't call that spying. I call that being wise parents. They ought to know what's going on. They ought to know what the kids are being taught. They ought to stand against what is wrong and for what is right. Amen? But this tracing business, this spying business is beginning to go on big time. It's a hate God movement that's going to get right down to hating Christians. Listen, bad religions like Islam has been murdering Christians for a long time. But we're moving in now to where we're seeing that kind of stuff go on closer home. I was reading a mission report, mission field. And some of the missionaries got, we'll call it kidnapped, abducted. And to get them set free, they wanted a ransom. They wanted to make plenty of money off of them. So they contacted the mission board. Yes, and this is going on in a lot of places, going on in Mexico and other places. And I've had a man stand right here in the pulpit and tell about how nephew or grandson, even though they took the ransom and let him go, they cut one of his fingers off and sent it to the loved ones to let them know it was real. So I was reading this report, and it said, and this was Islam, they got the money, they got the ransom to let these two men go, and one of them was the preacher. So as they were getting ready to let them go, they asked the preacher, when you're preaching, which hand do you hold your Bible in? He said, well, I hold it in my left hand. They chopped his left hand off. And the other man and some of them got him to the doctor before he bled to death. That's evil, pure evil. It's awful things that we're... America's somewhat been immune to that, but if we get rid of our Constitution and our freedoms, one of which is bearing arms, we're going to be in a heap of trouble, folks. I mean, a heap of trouble. Now, it's okay to examine our nation. It's also to examine it prophetically to see what is going on. But the biggest thing is to examine ourselves. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, over there, that we are to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. Now, I say to you, most of you probably here this morning would claim you know the Lord Jesus Christ, but it doesn't hurt you to examine. Is it real, or is just going to church all there is to it, occasionally? I mean, is it real to you? It's a good time in this late hour to examine whether it's real or not. I mean, that's very important. David was reviewing his life in this psalm. You say, well, David sinned. Yes, he did. I can't guarantee you it was before this, before he wrote this 26th psalm. I can't guarantee you it was or after. I'm not sure. But he was reviewing his life, and if it was after he sinned, here's the good news, he came back. And I want to say to you, in the flesh, it's possible for anybody to sin. But if you're born again, you will not like it. You will hate it. You will regret it. You will be convicted over it. And David, later in the 51st Psalm, said to the Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. He'd lost his joy. He was miserable. See, the most miserable person on earth is not a lost sinner that don't even know he's going to hell. Just living and doing what comes naturally. He's not the most miserable fellow. Most miserable fellow is a man that knows the Word of God and maybe has even trusted Christ and then fallen into sin. And he can't hardly live with himself. That's the miserable man. And that, there's an abundance of that crowd out there. I mean, it's an awful thing to have the Holy Spirit beating you to death on the inside. No, David came back. The old time preachers used to say something like this. They talk about a man falling into sin. They said it'll prove him one way or the other. It'll prove whether he's a sheep or a goat. If he's a goat, he'll keep on butting away. If he's a sheep, he'll come bleating back to God for forgiveness. I've never raised goats and sheep. I did have a pet goat when I was a kid. Know a little bit about them. But I've been told that a sheep, when it falls in the mud, it don't like it because it gets in that wool and it's heavy and all. They don't like it. They try to get away from it. They'll come back to the shepherd to get help. But they say that a goat, or especially a pig, loves the mud. I've seen a lot of prodigals fall in the hog pen. By the grace of God, I've seen some of them come out, get right, get cleaned up, get back where they ought to be. But I've seen some others fall in the hog pen and stay in the hog pen. You know, the story of the prodigal son. That's where the prodigal found himself, trying to fight for the food that was being given to the hogs. I want to tell you something. I can tell you why a lot of folks want to stay in the hog pen. This is deep. This is theologically deep. Don't miss it. They want to stay in the hog pen because they've got to love the slop. You know what slop is? Oh, I forget, I'm talking to city folks. We used to slop the pigs. That meant the garbage that was left over that we would no longer eat. We put it in a bucket and carried out to the pig pen. Anybody relate to that? Few educated folks in here. The truth of the matter is, if you're saved, you ought to hate slop. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to be uncomfortable when you fall in the devil's mud hole. You don't like it. You may slip and fall, but you don't like staying there. And one of the genuine proofs of somebody really being saved, really knowing Jesus, is when they try to get out of that mess and get back to the Lord. You might be here this morning and you might say, "Preacher, I fell in the hog pen." Do you like it there? Been enjoying it there? Or would you like to get out of it? Would you like to come back? Oh, the good news is you can come back. That is the good news. David was reviewing his life. Maybe he'd sinned before, I don't know, but the proof that he knows the Lord is he's coming here and introspecting himself, examining himself before the Lord. And the good news is David came back. Might not have been used as great as ever before his sin with Bathsheba, but he came back, and God did use him. And don't let the devil tell you that God wants you to stay there. He don't. He wants you to come back. He wants you to. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he slip and fall, yet God will uphold him with his hand. In other words, here's the illustration. It's a father and a son walking down the muddy road, and the son slips and falls. The dad don't reach over and put his foot on him and push him further in. He pulls him out. And God wants to pull you out. He's got a hand extended. He'll pull you out. I don't know what mess you're in. I've had folks say to me like it would be a shocker to me, "Oh, you don't know what a mess I'm in, what I'm doing." I don't have to know. I know God loves you enough to get you out of it if you'll take his hand. If you'll let him pull you up, he will. You don't have to stay in that mess. No, you don't. You can examine yourself. Are you there because you love it, or would you like to get out of it? You know, he'll pick you up, pull you back if you let him. You can come back. You know, I think about reading the stories of some famous men, famous far as the world goes, how they did get out of the hog pen and how they did come back to the Lord. We sang the song here in church written by John Newton. John Newton wrote Amazing Grace. John Newton was on a slave ship and even became a slave himself. He was bought by a black woman that owned some slaves on the ship. He became one of her slaves, and she wouldn't even let him eat with the rest of them. She'd take the food and throw it on the deck of the ship and make him eat it like a dog. That's the man that wrote Amazing Grace. He tried to commit suicide, jumped off the ship, and the mean captain had him harpooned like he would a whale. Speared him and rolled him back in, but somehow he lived through it. And then one day in the belly of that ship, he began to examine himself, began to think, and remembered at his mother's knee some of the scriptures she had taught him, some of the songs she had sung to him. And John Newton came back. And some of us have been over there to the church he pastored in his last number of years. John Newton wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a sinner such as I. Oh, yes, John Newton. He said, "A wretch like me." He knew what that word meant. He knew what he'd been. He examined himself. "A wretch like me. Saved a wretch like me." I want to say to you, the good news is you never pass the hope of God. God will bring you back, pull you out. There's no hog pen too deep for you, but what you can come out. You can come back. And oh, listen, that's what you need to do. Look deep in your heart, be sure. We look at the world. Yes, it's falling apart. Yes, it's bigger than what we can fix. But bless God, we can examine ourselves and say, "This is what God will do for me. I can finish right. I can be with God on the winning side. I ask you this morning, do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Are you willing to take a real hard look? I couldn't play checkers with myself. I couldn't be honest on both sides. But you have to be honest. Not just your outward appearance. Honest in here. Examining deep inside with the one you really are in the eyes of God. This morning the invitation's this. Is there somebody here that needs to come back? Or you can come the first time. Thank God. His arms open. He says, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. You can come the first time, but you can also come back. That's the good news. Do you need to come back this morning? The Lord is waiting right here for you. Would you come receive Christ and be saved and have him live within you to give you power to stay out of the hog pens of this old world? Will you do it? I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly to our feet. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves, to examine ourselves, see how we really stand before you. And Father, I thank you for the promises of the book that we can come back and know the Lord Jesus Christ and have forgiveness. Father, as the world spins out of control, it looks like, and Father, as evil increases and perversion just abounds, we pray, Father, that you would help us to look at ourselves. We're the ones we can do something about. Lord, I can only do a little bit far as the world goes, but I can do everything by making sure I'm right with you personally. I pray you'd bless the invitation. I pray that not one would leave this building lost. Not one would go home and not know tonight if they died during their sleep, they'd go to heaven. I pray you'd bless the invitation now in a special way, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll come receive Christ, will you meet me here? Will you leave that seat and just come? Maybe you need to come to the altar for prayer or move a membership or something else. But most of all, come to Christ and make sure you're saved.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come.
How about you this morning? How about you? Do you know for sure? God wants you to know for sure.
As
we're saying, will you come?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
A lot of folks that knew the truth and would not accept it, fought against it even, died as it were in the hog pen, crying out to God. Please don't let that happen to you. Some of our kids that go to college have to learn about a man by the name of Voltaire. Intellectual, but he was a avowed atheist. He preached his atheism. He influenced and still is influencing from the grave many college students. Much of what we see in America now that's going against righteousness is because of men like that they teach about in college. Brainwash our kids. Voltaire, French man, back during the day when France was a nation that was known for its atheism. That's what basically brought the French Revolution and all the horror of that. But Voltaire preached against God, as it were. But on his deathbed, this is important, folks. Still today, courts, government, authorities, they put a lot of stock in a death man's last words. They figure if he's ever going to tell the truth, he's fixed to face God now. And they solve a lot of murders by guys on their deathbed confessing. That happens right now today. Voltaire on his deathbed, the nurse that attended him said she would never attend the deathbed of another atheist in her life because of the scenes that he made, the words he screamed out and all as he was dying. One of the statements that's recorded against him, and they ought to teach this in college. If you've been a college student, you've been brainwashed on Mr. Voltaire, you ought to really check up the rest of it. On his deathbed, crying out in his misery, and he said, "I'm abandoned of both man and God, and I shall go to hell." That's what the nurse was talking about. He had his chance. Many so-called clergymen, preachers, had gone to him in his life and gone to him even on his deathbed to try to get him saved. But he wouldn't tell the truth on himself. He wouldn't be honest. He wouldn't examine himself before God. There's a lot of people like that today. And it's a sad, sad thing that telling them the truth and preaching the truth and inviting them to come receive Christ and still for them to die in that condition. As he said, abandoned of man, man couldn't help him. And of God. God could have helped him, but he didn't come to God in time. I think it's a serious time. I know Christmas time and joy and all that, okay, fine, and we'll get to see the family and all the good things. But you can't really enjoy it if you don't know the Christ of Christmas. He's the only one going to give you the peace in your heart. I hope you have him. And if you're saved and you're not living the life, you're in the hog pen and you're miserable over it, best Christmas you could ever have is get out of that hog pen and come back to the Lord. Amen. All right. Thank you, folks. Let me encourage you to not only come back tonight, but invite somebody for the cantata. They've worked hard on it. It'll be good. And human nature being what it is, sometimes we understand and the truth gets in sometime through an object lesson more so than words. That's kind of what the cantata is. It's a demonstration of some stuff I believe will be helpful. All right. Brother Perkins, you want to dismiss us, please?
Let's pray. Father, we do love you this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for the message that we just heard, Lord. And Father, we know that the world's being robbed of the gospel right now, Father. And we just thank you that we do have the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And Father, as we dismiss this morning, we pray that you bring us back safe tonight. We ask your blessings upon the cantata. We pray that if there's any lost among us tonight, that today will be their day of salvation. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.